All right. Now, open up your Bibles, and we're going to go to 1 John again. Now, you say, good night. We've been in 1 John 3 times already. Yes, we have. Now, we're not going to stay in 1 John this morning. We're going to jump around to several different places. Now, if you have a piece of paper or a pen, I'm going to invite you to take notes this morning. Specifically, after we deal with some different things, we are going to give some principles to live by that I think can really be a help to you. And if you're able to write these down, because I promise you won't remember maybe more than one, but if you write these down, they will be great filters for later. You know what a filter is? A filter is something that cleans what is dirty so that it is usable later. If I go backpacking, and I can't go anymore because of some injuries, but if I went backpacking years ago, I always had a water filter. The filters that I would use, I even had something called a life straw. You could take a life straw and you could put it in a dirty, stagnant pond type area, and you could drink from that life straw because it had special filters inside. It would filter out all the impurities, and then it made it safe to drink. All right, now, when you go into life, when you go into just normal, everyday living, you need to understand the Bible wants to work like a filter. It wants to purify everything before it gets to your mind gate, your eye gate, and your actions so that you can please a holy God. Would you go to 1 John chapter number 2 and notice what the Bible will say? Well, let's go to verse number 15, all right? 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. I believe this may help to us, but pay attention. Don't check out, all right? Here we go, verse number 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Let's just stop right there, all right? We're going to explain some of these verses and then jump to several others about what we're talking about today. But before we miss it, did you see the end of that verse? It says, the love of the Father is not in him. Don't misunderstand this verse. Don't misunderstand it. God loves everyone, all right? You need to understand that. And at no time will God ever stop loving somebody. At no time will God ever cease to love you. I have heard people say this for years. Well, Brother Glenn, you don't know what I did or have done. I don't think God could love me anymore because of what I did or am doing. Get this. You can never take love out of God. Because the Bible doesn't just tell us that God loves you, and he does. The Bible says God is love. Now, you can't change God. You need to understand that. And you can never change how much God loves you. That's pretty incredible. So this verse is not in any way saying that if you don't love God, God won't love you. That's not what it's saying, all right? You need to know that this morning. Let's read the verse again, and we'll explain it. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. In other words, here's what the Bible's saying. If you choose to love the world, you cannot also choose to love God. Make sense? This verse is not talking about God's love to you. It's talking about your love to God. You cannot love God and something else, particularly something that doesn't please God. You can't choose one and the other. The Bible even is clear in the Gospels that you cannot serve or love two masters. So that we just need to understand this morning, this is not talking about that if you don't love God, God won't love you. That's not what it's saying. It's saying very clearly, if you choose to love the world, then you cannot also choose to love God. Let's keep going. Notice what it says in verse number 16. For all that is in the world, that means everything, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. All right, the lust of the flesh, what you want that makes you feel good. the lust of the eyes. What you see and you say, I think I'd like that. Filled pride of life. How I want my life to be, my dreams, my plans. I want to have that one day. The Bible says very clearly that anytime I live for self, I'm stealing from God, I'm a thief. If you choose to trust Jesus as your only way to heaven, by the way, that is one time choice that anyone can make. Jesus loves you so much, you can trust Jesus. And some of you still haven't done that yet. And I want you to know, I prayed for you this morning. Other people are praying for you. You say, well, how do you know I'm not on my way to heaven? Well, I can't see your heart, but I often can see on your face during preaching what's in your heart. Now, I can't prove that you're not on your way to heaven, but also I've seen several hands during the invitation time that have said, I'm struggling with doubts. You need to get that settled. Or have said, clearly, I don't know I'm going to heaven. Hey, you need to get that settled. Then you come to this verse, and he says in verse number 16, all that is of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, all of those things, when you go after what you want or what the world says is okay, you need to understand that those things do not agree with God. And God says that if you belong to Jesus, by you trusting Jesus as your only way to heaven, then God owns you. So it's time to live for God. Notice what else he will say when you go down to verse number 17. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. In other words, the dreams and plans that you have will one day be gone. The things that you want and chase after will one day disappear. And only what's done for Jesus will last. Now this morning, I wonder, in your life, if we were just to take the things that influence you this morning, would those things please God? Let's pray before we start. Father, I pray that you'd help us this morning. Would you open not just our minds, but our hearts? And I pray that you'd help us to be tender. Would you help us, Lord, to think very clearly and biblically about what we want, how we live, and will it please you? In Jesus' name, amen. Several years ago, I was in a state where they were running a promotional campaign for drivers. Now, you've probably seen, I don't know what they call it in Pennsylvania or Jersey or wherever you're from. I have no idea. But the state I was in at the time preaching, the troopers were running this kind of a slogan, click it or ticket. Okay, some of you have seen it. What does that mean? Well, that means either you buckle your seatbelt or you're going to get a ticket. Either you put safety measures on or you are going to face the consequences of not setting up barriers, setting up safety measures, because when you avoid or disregard safety, then look out, you're going to pay the consequences. Why would a state trooper organization or why would the police force even come up with some kind of a slogan and promotion like that? Click it or ticket. You want to know why? Because many people that do not buckle their seatbelts, when they are in some kind of an accident, they will probably either severely be injured or killed. My middle brother is a pastor in Florida, outside of Pensacola. What a place to live, right? My middle brother, when he was in Bible college, they were driving on soul-winning visitation, and he was in the back of an old 15-passenger van. This old 15-passenger van actually didn't have seatbelts. He was sitting in the back of the van, and he was going from the college to the church and then out to tell people about Jesus. And the driver of the van went around a bend and another truck was coming. The driver of the van had crossed over the line, So he was pulling it back, but he overcorrected. When he overcorrected, those of you that are learning driving or do drive, you know that is a dangerous thing, especially on a curb. There was no incline. It was flat North Carolina roads, about just a mile from the college. When he overcorrected, he took a 15-passenger van and flipped it four times. When he did, my brother was thrown out the back of the window, and he landed face down in a red anthill. When he landed in the red anthill, then the van that he had been thrown out of landed on the back of his neck. It crushed his cranial nerve, and now he's going blind. Doctors say that had his face not landed in the red anthill, and he gotten over 1,000 red ant bites, when the van landed on his neck, it would have decapitated him. Now, to this day, he's allergic to red ants and snakes and all of those kind of things. If he gets bit by a red ant, he has to go to the hospital immediately with an EpiPen, because the amount of poison he got in his body from the red ants was equal to 2 rattlesnake bites. When the van landed on his neck, now he faces the consequences for the rest of his life of continuing to go blind. Now, God's using him, and he knows he's going blind, and so he memorizes the Bible, and he has several books of the Bible stored in his memory and in his heart, because he knows that one day he will not be able to read the Bible. What he reads now is often on a tablet so he can blow it up big and see it. You say, well, what's the point? You know, had he had a seatbelt on, when that van would have rolled, he would have stayed in that van. There were 14 other people in that van. Did you know every one of them walked away? But he ended up in the hospital. You say, well, what's the big deal? Did you know seatbelts aren't important? You need seatbelts. You say, okay, Brother Glenn, we don't even get the ride on an ATV this week. I mean, they don't just say, hey, everybody get one, have fun. They don't let us do that. No, no, no. Do you have safety measures in your life from the influences that will seek to destroy you? You need to understand that the world is not out for you to be successful. The world does not want you at the end of your life to say, oh, yeah, that was great. I love that. That's not the enemy. That's not Satan. That's not the devil's plan. Understand, the devil wants to deceive you and discourage you. He wants to blind you. You remember Director's Hour yesterday? You remember? What happened? Well, seems to me like he didn't set up safety measures in his life based on the Word of God so that he did not end up where he did not want to be. Now, this morning, you need to set up safety measures. And you need to set up safety measures in the influences of your life. Every one of you is influencing someone, whether you like that or not. And every one of us is being influenced by someone or something, whether we like it or not. The greatest influences that you will face right now as a teenager will come from the internet, the television, social media. You say, what about friends? Well, friends are a big deal, but I find today that most people's friendship is built around the internet or social media. So let me ask you, what kind of safety measures are you setting up in your life? You say, well, listen, I can't watch a lot of TV. We don't even have a TV in our home. All right, well, maybe you don't. But most of the time, the people that say we don't have a TV, they do have some kind of a computer where they watch something on it, or on their phone where they're watching YouTube or whatever else. And you need to set up safety measures. You say, Brother Glenn, are you going to tell us today what we should and should not watch? Are you going to list all the programs that are out there today? And are you going to say, stay away from this, stay away from this? No, you have to make those decisions. However, there are Bible principles that you need to choose to live by to set up safety measures, protections like a seatbelt, so that those influences do not Choose your ending. Because the influences that are in your life will truly influence you to one day be like they show. You say, I'd never be like them. You know, a lot of people in the Bible said the same thing. I'll never end up there. But if you don't set up safety measures and click it, you're going to face the consequences of the ticket later. Notice what the Bible will say here in this passage. The what of the world. It says in verse number 15, love not the world. Well, what is the world? What does that mean? What does the world have? Most of us would say, well, listen, the world is not all that bad. Well, really? You are deceived. You say, well, there are some good things in the world. Not according to the Bible. Did you read what the Bible says? It says all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Get this. What the world has to offer. You say, what does that mean? Does that mean the globe? Does that mean, last night, the flat part of the earth? I don't know. What does that mean? All right. The world. In other words, anything that is not of God can line up with God's word. Does that make sense? Anything and everything that influences us ought be put through the filter of God's word. He says here, all that is in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life, verse number 15, verse number 16, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Notice what it says here. It says, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The world is not of God. And beyond that, you need to understand that everything that is in the world is wicked. You say, well, listen, we're not talking about witches and things like that this morning, are we? We may not be dealing with that in specifics, but you need to understand that sometimes things even look good that are not good. There are times where the world, because of how the devil works, he wants to make what is wrong look okay. Do you remember Adam and Eve in the garden? Do you think that fruit that Eve ate of had worms coming out of it? No. You know what the Bible says in Genesis? It says that when Eve looked at the fruit, that it was pleasant. It was good to the eyes. You know, there's a lot that is in the world that a lot of teenagers will ask me this question, Brother Glenn. Is it that bad? I think 1 John chapter number 2 explains it very well. All that is in the world is not of the Father, but is of the world. All right, so what are you going to do? You need to understand that what the world offers can never in any way, shape, or form, no matter how much sugar you put on it, it's not going to please God. Beyond that, what the world has to offer is always wicked. He just said it's not of God. Well, if it's not of God, then it has to be wicked. So let me ask you, what are the influences from the world that are coming into your life? What are you watching on TV? You say, well, listen, what I'm watching on TV is just cartoons. Okay, first of all, I have trouble believing any teenager that says all that they watch is cartoons. I have trouble with that. But if you want to dwell there for a minute, let's dwell there. Some of you, you know what Beavis and Butthead is. I'm not trying to be inappropriate, but you need to understand. This is a cartoon. And I'm watching some of your faces. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Did you know that one of the major pitches in that cartoon show offers to mock God continually? Maybe we can continue and point out an episode where the two young men are going through a compound. The name of the episode is their spiritual guidance. And they go through this compound and they meet someone who says that they work for God. Well, when they go to try to find this individual, they can't find him, and instead, they walk into a building where someone who is actually depicting Jesus is. Beavis and Butthead walk in, and they sit down next to a man who will be called Jesus, and who gives the normal image of Jesus. Guess what they're doing? They're sitting in front of a television, and guess what they're watching? Pornography. You think Jesus would be watching that? I don't think so. You say, well, it's just a cartoon. What about American Dad or Family Guy? You say, well, listen, these aren't that bad. Do you know one of the top rating American Dad episodes is the episode on the rapture? And did you know that in that episode, the whole push is that the characters in American Dad are fighting in against the Antichrist? One dies, one lives. And you say, come on now, is it really that big of a deal? Yeah, it is a big deal. Here's a big one amongst Christian teenagers, anime. You say, come on now, is there anything wrong with anime? All right, do you think it would please Jesus, first of all, for you to dress that way? I think that's enough in and of itself, don't you think? But beyond that, the spells and all that's offered, you say, listen, it's not that bad. Maybe you would say, I don't watch any of that stuff. I watch old things like Winnie the Pooh. Great. But it still needs to be put through the filter of God's Word. What about what you're looking at on social media? You say, listen, on social media, that's made just for chatting. Yeah, when was the last time you actually just chatted on social media? No. You know what you're sifting through. You know what you're flipping through. You say, well, I was just looking at the dating site. I was just looking at, I was just swiping left or swiping right. Hey, that's not God's plan. Go back to the Bible. You say, well, listen, all I'm doing on social media is looking at guys show off their newest firearm. That's it. Seriously. You say, I don't know what you're looking at, but God does. You say, well, listen, you can look at my phone, Brother Glenn. You can look at my internet history, and you know, you won't find it. Excuse me. If you have to erase your internet history, it shows that you're hiding something. Beyond that, although I may not be the world's greatest techie, in a couple of moves of buttons on your phone, I can pull up the history that you erased. You say, oh no, I erased it. I went through and deleted the cache. I, in my ignorance, I know how to still find it. But beyond that, whether I can find it or not, God knows it. And if you don't set up safeguards now, it'll destroy you later. But Brother Glenn, I'm not doing it. You will. Because the Bible is very clear that when you continue to bring that in, eventually it'll destroy you. Let's go ahead for sake of time and let's turn to a few verses. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians, all right? We're going to go quickly, so hold on. 1 Corinthians, notice what it says in verse number, chapter 10 and verse number 31. Some of you know this verse. You've memorized this verse, maybe even this week, all right? So let's begin with the filter of God's Word. Let's just put on there what you're watching. Let's put on there what you're texting. Let's put on there where your filter is on YouTube. Let's put on there what your social media search engine's like. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 31. He says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, that would include surfing. That would include changing the channel. That would include what you're looking at when nobody else knows, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Let's stop there a minute. Many times I'm asked by young people specifics, Brother Glenn, is God okay with this kind of music? And many times they'll name some hip-hop or some R&B or some kind of a CCM or New Age music. Is God okay with this? You know, for me to begin to sift through your genre of music would be pointless, because that is not what we're talking about. What we are talking about is God okay with it, not what do I think about it. So maybe if you're trying to figure out your music, let's put it this way. If God were to sit right beside you while you're listening to your music, and he were to take your AirPod and put it in one of his ear, I'm not trying to be irreverent, but I think this will help, would you turn it down or change the station? Because if God wouldn't listen to it, then you have no business listening to it. You say, Brother Glenn, that's not fair. No, I think it is fair. Because God's very clearly defined in the Word of God that when you trust God as your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of you. So when you are putting that music into your brain, you need to understand the Holy Spirit has to put up with it. I think that's a good filter. What about what you're watching on TV? Well, listen, it's not a big deal. I don't watch bad stuff. And occasionally, there's some stuff that comes on the TV when I'm watching it in my room. First of all, a young person who is sold out for God, a young person who is serious about serving God, will set up safeguards so much so that they won't even allow a TV into their room. A young person who sold out for God will recognize the dangers of the distractions and temptations of the world, and they will set up safeguards, filters, so that they don't have unlimited access on their phone, on their computer, on their tablet, on their Wi-Fi, etc. You say, oh, Brother Glenn, I can handle it. No, you can't. Oh, Brother Glenn, you have a smartphone. There are many times I wish I had a dumb phone. But you need to understand, I have watched more preachers choose to sin and give in to what the world has to offer. And it started with the temptations that they allowed through their eye gate or ear gate. I can take you every week or every other week of just this year, the preachers that I have heard that have chosen to live a life of sin, and it started when they just invited it in. I'll be honest, I am scared to death. You say, what do? I have a filter on my phone. I have a filter on my iPad. I have a filter on our laptop. You say, what's the big deal? Where does that filter go? You know, every morning, an email is sent to my wife of every single site that I visited on my phone, on my tablet, or on my laptop. You say, come on now, it's not that big of a deal. What's wrong with you? Hey, listen, I am scared to death. Because if you don't set up safeguards, click it, eventually you're going to face the consequences of what will happen later when you continue to say it's not a big deal. I want you to see something. Turn over to the book of Ephesians. Notice what the book of Ephesians says in chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5, notice what it will say in verse number 3. Ephesians chapter 5 in verse number 3, it says this, but fornication, you say, what's that? Come on now, you're not that ignorant. Fornication, playing around with something called sex that is reserved for marriage. Well, let's just stop here for a minute. Need to look up here because this could be misunderstood and it doesn't need to be. God made sex. And sex was designed for the marriage relationship between one man and one woman. Anything outside of that, anything, playing around, fooling around, looking around or watching it done will never please God. Said, Brother Glenn, we're not supposed to talk about that. Okay, but you need to understand it is a good thing. It's a beautiful thing. In marriage, but not before. And if you don't set up safeguards, young person, you may end up like some that were in my youth group of 35. That before they were ever married and just out of high school, they're already expecting kids. There's no man, and now there's a single mom trying to raise a bunch of kids because she thought she could handle it. So where'd you get those ideas? Because you let the temptation in. He goes on. He says, but fornication and all uncleanness And then he goes on, or covetousness. Let us not be once named among you as become as saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. In other words, hey, listen, all of these things, they should not even be found amongst Christians, even teenagers. You don't need that. You say, well, listen, I really would like to try some of what the world has. I know God's not okay with it, but is it okay for me just to try it out safely? You never can be safe when you play with things. Ever. Ever. You go back to these passages and you find that what the world has is always different than what God has. And the only way to please God is to stay away from the world. You say, well, it's just what I'm looking at. It's just what I'm listening to. It's just what I'm clicking on. Did you know one click? Think about it. One click always leads to another click, doesn't it? And if you'll be honest, those of you that surf and swipe and click, you know that eventually something comes up that isn't good. You know that. And no matter how safe you try to be, it'll come up. You say, listen, I'm not a guy. I don't have a problem with that. Don't fool yourself. Somewhere down the line, we have just invited the devil and the filth of sin into our lives. And now we think it's okay. Let me ask you something. How close to God do you want to be? Because if you want to see God work in your life, and you want to come out like Proverbs 28:13 that we looked at last night, with that success and that mercy over past sin that's forgiven, and you want to find yourself in an incredible, prosperous life, then you're going to have to set up safeguards. This morning, I'm going to give you quickly a list of safeguards that you need to make choices. And these choices very well may determine whether you come out at the end of your life successful or whether you look back on your life with regrets. You know, I don't meet very many old people or young people that say, in fact, I don't think I've ever met anyone that says, I wish I had not lived my life for God. But I have met hundreds, maybe thousands, of old and young people alike who regret not setting up safeguards. Here's the principles. Number one, all things should bring glory to God. Yes, that means what you click on. That means what you watch. That means what you serve. Some of you need to ask for a dumb phone. Some of you need to get rid of your phone. You say, I have got to call my parents. You can do that with a flip phone. Did you know that? Some of you are like, I need a smartphone. My friends are on there. If that's your friendship level, you got problems. Some of you, the end of your world is when somebody unfriends you. You need help. And coffee's not going to settle, all right? You need help. You go back to the Bible, let all things bring glory to God. And that's that verse we already looked at in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 31. Number two, guard your eye gate. I'll give you some verses. He says in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8, he tells us what we ought allow through our eye gate. He tells us what we ought think about. And if you are not looking at and thinking about things that God would look at and think about, you are in dangerous territory. It's time to click it. Psalm 101, verse number 3. He says very clearly, I will set no wicked thing before mine eye. How many of you have? Now let's go down to verse number 3. You are what you think about. Proverbs 23, verse number 7. You are what you think about. What you think about, you will become. And what you become may not be what would please God. You say, well, if I want to become what pleases God, what should I do? You need to set up safeguards in the filter of the Word of God. Quickly, we're going to mention these several more things. There's 10 in total. Number 4, be careful about delighting in violence. Some of you, your video games are all about violence. You need to understand, God takes no pleasure in violence. You say, well, listen, all I'm doing is killing a deer or a bear on Cabela's hunting. All right, we're not talking about that. We're talking about blood, guts, and gore. And some of you, you live for that. And some of you right now, you're missing out on your video games. Some of you, you know even further the video game cheat codes you can plug into the auto games where the characters take their clothes off and now they have nothing on throughout the entire video game. Some of you know about that. You don't think it's a big deal. You think it's funny. You know the cheat codes. You've passed them around on social media. And you say, what's the big deal? It's just something on the TV. It's not real. Doesn't please God. And what you play with eventually will end up taking over you. Maybe it's time to put the video games down, or at least put a filter on them. Maybe it's time to go through your video game stash and throw out what you know doesn't please God. A verse on that is Psalm 11, verse number 5. Be wise with your time. Some of you waste so much time. You spend more time on your television or social media than you've spent in the Bible the whole month or even year. Some of you have spent more time in the Bible this week memorizing or in quiet time because you haven't had your phone. Some of you have seen God do some things in your life. And that's wonderful and that's incredible. By the way, God does not cease to be God when you leave camp. So maybe it's time to choose God all the time. Verse on that would be Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 16. Be simple with evil. Romans 16, 19, that's number 6. Be simple with evil. You say, what's that mean? That simply means that you don't have to know all that's evil out there. You don't have to say, hey, I want to learn about this. Man, I'm going to research this a while. I'm going to flip through this a little. I want to see this. The Bible says it is better not to know about the evil than to find out about it. Romans 16, 19. Avoid the appearance of evil. Number 7, we're almost done. Avoid the appearance of evil. Some of you, you say, well, I'm not doing anything wrong. Well, you're maybe, but you act like you're doing something wrong because as soon as somebody walks in the room, you have to change the channel, swipe up, close the app, or hide the phone. Some of you are thrilled to death now that they've come up with the technology to make your screen private. And the person sitting next to you can't see your screen. You think that's the greatest thing in the world because now you can look at whatever you want you look at. Hey, God still sees. God still sees. Number 8, don't delight in that which is opposite of God. Remember when he talked about fornication, all uncleanness? Let it not be once named among you. Romans chapter 3, verse 12 through 18. And Romans chapter 1, verse number 32. Don't delight on what doesn't please God. Number 9, be distinct. You say, well, if I'm distinct, I'm going to be weird. God tells you to be weird. God tells you you ought to be different from the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 through 18. And then number 10, don't be controlled by anything except God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 12. I realize those are a lot of things. It's intriguing to me watching some of you. I'm not going to be mean, but it's interesting. Some of you are sitting there, and you have a paper, and you have a pen, and you could be writing, and you're not. You say, well, are you going to jump all over us because you're not writing? No, it's just interesting. Some of you, you're more in tune with the shows that I mentioned than you are about what God says. Young person, I'm not going to beat you up this morning, but I'm concerned for you. Because if you don't set up these safeguards, if you don't put what you let in through your ear gate or your eye gate, it will turn into an action. If you do not filter it through God's word, the world has a lot to offer, and it's a lot of wickedness.
Let's begin by setting up safeguards that could keep us safe when temptation comes. Father, would you help us today? I pray that you'd help us to even today make decisions about the things in our life and the safeguards that we need to set up so that we can please God. And I ask, Lord, that throughout the day and even in tonight's service, we would have decisions that we would make based on getting rid of the filth and putting in the good of God's word. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.